All right, well, God bless you. We're going to go to Proverbs to start this morning. A lot of these teachings end up on our webpage along with the Wednesday night stuff. Jessica's been doing a special thing. She's been videoing herself, and they're also on YouTube that you can see on Wednesdays. So, and eventually we'll be videoing. We bought a camera and all of that. We just haven't set everything up yet. So I know I have a face better for radio, but unfortunately the younger generation won't listen, and so we have to attach video to it. So Proverbs 4 is where we're going to go first. And we're going to discuss wisdom. So we see in Proverbs 4, 5, an imperative. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Okay, thanks for coming. I mean, really, that's the bottom line when it comes down to it. Get wisdom. Get understanding. And have a nice day. Well, we'll delve into it a little bit more because, you know, it's great for us to realize that God is encouraging us to do these things, but how do we do those things? So, we are encouraged to take action, to get wisdom, to get understanding, and then to forget it. Oh, no, forget it not. Once you get it, you live it. You get it to live. Neither decline or turn away from the words of my mouth. Well, I disagree with what God wants me to do, so forget that. I like this other part of the word, but I don't like this part of it. No, all of it. So when we learn it, we hang on to it. Forsake her not. So get the wisdom, get the understanding, and forsake her not. I'm going to read through 9, and I'm going to come back and we'll talk about some of this. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. So, wisdom is the principal thing. So, when you go to college, get a degree in wisdom. Wrong kind of wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And then with all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. So, this section in here is loaded, and so let's break it down a little bit. Because wisdom is the right application of knowledge. So you can't get to wisdom until you get to the knowledge. You can't buy the right car until you get some knowledge about what the different cars are like. Or you're at the mercy of maybe an unscrupulous salesperson, which comes up in this too. So do your homework. You know, that's what it's talking about. So wisdom is the right or proper application of knowledge. Now, understanding, we're also supposed to get understanding. You know, that's good because this says get wisdom, similar to get a job. Or, you know, get your own car, have your own family, which Paul's doing right now, and things like that. So that's the exhortation here. So move out, you know, things like that. So, no, I'm thinking of, but they're not here at the moment. So anyway, okay, so get understanding. Now, understanding is interesting because in the Greek, it's the word synesis. It's the thing where rivers kind of flow together and you finally go, aha, I got it. That's understanding, right. But you start putting knowledge in, knowledge in, knowledge in all these different tributaries and then finally it comes all together in one spot and you get understanding. You get it. It comes together. Webster describes understanding as comprehension. The power to think and learn. Intelligence. And I don't like the word intelligence, but I do like how Bullinger says it. Insight into anything. Acuteness. The intelligent, penetrating consideration which precedes decisions and action. So I like intelligent in there. The intelligent, penetrating consideration which precedes decision and action. I don't see impulse buying in here. It's part of wisdom. So, you know, it's a consideration. It precedes decision and action. The intelligent, penetrating consideration. You know, you think about it before you do it. And you think of the consequences of it, too. Like, let's buy this $50,000 machine. Oh, I got to have a garage to put it in, and I need people to do it, and I got to do all this other stuff. And by the way, I got to make enough money each month to put it. Hey, I got a better idea. I'll wait. Right? Good decision. So you start thinking it through, and then you get to the point where, aha, this is the proper, based upon all the knowledge, based upon the understanding, I'll have the wisdom then to do it properly, and life will be blessed, happier. Not necessarily easier, but you'll have the wisdom it was the right thing. So it's kind of like understanding is used of reflective thought, where wisdom is used of productive thought. So it's a productive thought for wisdom, where a reflective thought is understanding. You think about it, you gel it, you do it, and then bam, you got it all together. Now I understand what I need to do. And God, you sure you want me to do this? All right, so it says then, get wisdom, get understanding, get productive. Forget it not, and then don't turn away from the words of my mouth. Forsake it not, and wisdom will preserve thee. And preserve is to protect. Protect from harm or protect from damage. You get a little bit of wisdom, you don't do stupid things. That's what it's telling you. You know, I'm pretty wise, so I'm not going to jump into something real quick. I'm not a teenager anymore. Not that teenagers, you know, fall into that category. So, forsake her not, and she shall protect you from damage. We need that, don't we? Okay. Love her, and she will guard. Keep is guard, but it's like it's like somebody who watches a vineyard. You know, you watch as it continues to grow and progress, and you got to keep the wrong animals out and the wrong bugs out, but, you know, get the right workers to help work it. Keep an eye on the workers that they're not taking too many of the vineyard home with them. So it's all part of the whole thing with wisdom. It's going to guard you. It's going to look after you, which I like. It kind of keeps you from going on the wrong slope sometime. You know, it's like, you know, keeps you from catching the double diamond too early. So, wisdom is the principal thing. So that puts it pretty high on the list. So it's something we should strive after. Exalt wisdom, and she, the wisdom, will promote thee. It will lift you up. It will raise you up in honor when you embrace her. And she'll be you'll have a fancy hat of grace. She'll give your head a wreath or a headdress of grace. And a crown of glory, not a crown of thorns. Look at Proverbs 2:6. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Proverbs. 2:6 says, oh look, for the Lord gives wisdom. It tells us to get wisdom, so where should we go to get it? Oh, the Lord gives wisdom. Amazing. So, where should we find wisdom then? In the book. Right? All right. So, the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And those are the three components. Knowledge, figuring out what the knowledge means, the understanding of how it all fits together, and then acting on it with proper wisdom. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the path of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity and truth, justice, in the American way, for all you Superman fans from the 60s. Anytime you see that, either that or the Boy Scout oath, you kind of flip into it. So, you add a whole bunch of things to it. But I'll take an understanding of righteousness, judgment, and equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, you know what follows? Discretion shall preserve thee. Discretion is counsel, prudence, craftiness. Discretion, knowing when to keep your mouth shut and knowing when it's time to speak up. Understanding shall keep thee, and it will deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Here's the used car salesman. It will deliver thee from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaks crooked things, who leave the paths of unrightness and walks in the way of darkness, and it goes further and further on. But you kind of get the point. So if you got some wisdom, you don't fall for all these things that are out there, because there's lots of things out there in the world. You pick and choose properly. Now, we realize that to get wisdom, we have to go to the Word of God. So look at Proverbs 1, because there might be one book that has more wisdom in it than other books. Oh, look, Proverbs chapter 1. And Proverbs chapter 1, the rabbinical definition of the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Oh, then this must be a good book to look at if I want some wisdom. In fact, it's going to tell us this. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, and the purpose of this book is to know wisdom, to know instruction, to perceive or to discern the words of understanding, because we need understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, and to give subtlety or shrewdness or prudence to the simple. That's all of us. It gives shrewdness to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion, or foresight. That's another word for discretion. Foresight. That's good. Say, exhibit A. You worked for your father for years and years and years, and then you came here knowing it all. No, but you had the foresight to go, you know, I ought to do a few things like bring letters of recommendation with me and have a local phone number and have, you know, bring my family with me. You know, things like that. So you had good foresight into what it would take to be successful here. You actually utilized wisdom because you understood what it took to run a business and to be successful in that business. So that's good. Now, it tells us then, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. So wisdom just doesn't come once. You know, it's not like I went and bought the car, I'm done. No. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. So all your life, you to stay as a wise person, we need to continue learning. And a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels. There's a big key of understanding. Yet iron sharpeneth iron. You have wise counsels. You bounce things off people. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark saying, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when you hire different people to come to work sometimes, you find out if they're fools or if they want to be wise. Because they will despise wisdom and instruction, or they will learn. But the key, the bottom line to all of it is the fear of the Lord. A reverence for God is the beginning of somebody who wants to know things, who then will develop wisdom in their life and understanding. So that's where it starts. We could go to Proverbs 9 and say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom also. But let's go to Psalm 111, because it says it there too. So go to Psalm 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in Psalm 111, verse 10... the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it starts with having a healthy respect for God. And God, teach me. God, show me. God, direct me. God, help! You know, and all of those things. So the fear of the Lord, having a respect for the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of real life, quite honestly. So a good under. So let's continue to read that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. So, if you want a good understanding, which we need because we're supposed to, you know, seek, we're supposed to get understanding, well, we get understanding from doing his commandments, from keeping his word. So, you want to increase your understanding? Start living it, and you'll start going, oh, now I see why. By doing this, I got a godly result rather than the wrong things that have been happening to me all the time because I've been doing it myself. Remember the last few weeks we've been talking about don't rely on our own intellect? Bad. Relying on our own intellect. Relying on God? Good. Sitting around doing nothing? Bad. Unless God says sit around and do nothing, which sometimes he does. But get implies action. So, go back to Proverbs 8. We get good understanding when you do his commandments. And Proverbs 8. We actually are going to leave pretty soon and go to Corinthians. But Proverbs 8. It's just that since this is a book of wisdom, we find a lot of wisdom here. 8:8. All right. 8:8 continues to keep it in perspective about wisdom. We read, "All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understands and right to them that finds knowledge." Well, those are things, two of the things we're after. "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than lots of Benjamins," choice gold. Why? Verse 11 keeps the perspective for us. "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to God's wisdom." Sounds like wisdom, since it's the principal thing, it will increase a lot of things in our life. "I, wisdom, dwelt with prudence." You have wisdom and prudence living next door? "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." So if you want to come up with some witty inventions, you need to have God's wisdom and knowledge. I like the King James translation of that. Witty inventions. Useful. Things that will make your life easier. "The fear of the Lord," then, which we saw is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. Now, "the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate pride, to hate arrogancy, to hate politicians." No, wait a minute. Doesn't say that in here. "Evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way and the crooked mouth do I hate." And you get used to that. When you just hear some of this stuff and it's just, ugh, because you have godly knowledge and wisdom. You don't, you know, go with the masses and watch the Oscars and things like that. So, 14. "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength." So it sounds like getting on this God's right side is a good place to go. And with that, we go then to 1 Corinthians 1. And Ed's going to give you a handout. Because I have the working translation for 1 Corinthians 1. So you can follow along in that instead of in the Bible. And there's also some verses in James that we will get to eventually. So there's no football, so we got some time to get into the Bible. So, 1 Corinthians 1, I like Walter's translation of this because it's a little bit clearer and a little bit more understanding on certain subjects. So this is from the Greek. Should be close to enough, yeah, if not enough. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 1:17. We're going to look at the working translation. We're dealing with getting wisdom, getting understanding, and getting knowledge, and having a good life because of all of that. "In fact, Christ did not send me to baptize, but Christ sent me to proclaim the gospel, not in wisdom of word, lest the cross of Christ should be voided. Moreover, the word regarding the cross is foolishness to those who perish, but to us who are saved, it's the power of God. Accordingly, it has been written in Isaiah 29:14, I shall destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the understanding of the understanding ones I shall nullify." Those are your professors and things like that. The understanding ones, the geniuses of our day. God is saying, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and the understanding of the understanding ones. Well, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the investigator debater of this age? In case you were looking. Has not God made the wisdom of the world foolish? That's why many times you go the way of the world, you just go the opposite, and that's God's way. The wisdom of the world is foolish. Moreover, and this is a great verse, since the world, through its wisdom, did not know God by the wisdom of God, God was pleased to save or deliver those who believed through the foolishness of heralding. While Judeans asked for signs and Greeks still seeking for wisdom, we herald Christ, Christ crucified. To the Judeans, a stumbling block. Oh, he didn't really come. He wasn't the Messiah. To the Gentiles, foolishness. When you ever talk to somebody and they just think it's all foolishness, that's a good reason. They don't have the Spirit of God. It has to be foolishness to them. They can't figure it out. Like guys like Bill Maher. I think he's a great illustration of that. It's all foolishness to him because he doesn't have the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, what does it say in Corinthians? It's all foolishness. So, they have no choice because they're of this world. They fit into this category. However, to those who are the called ones of both Judeans and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and Christ is the wisdom of God. So you want wisdom today? Learn about Christ and Christ's accomplishments. That's our true wisdom. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Can I get an amen on that one?
Amen.
Absolutely. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Moreover, look at your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the flesh. I think that's a much better translation than King James. Not many of you were wise according to the flesh. Were back in the days before you got born again. Not many were powerful according to the flesh. Not many were noble born according to the flesh. We have any royalty in here? Any Kennedys? Or no? Okay. But God chose the foolish things of the world that he might put the wise to shame. Boy, it just reminds you of Acts 2. And God chose the weak things of the world that he might put the strong things to shame. And God chose the low-born things of the world and the despised things and the things that are nothing so that he might make the things that are something inactive, so that no flesh may boast before God. However, from him you are in Christ Jesus, who was made not only wisdom from God to us, but also justness and sanctification and redemption, so that even as it has been written in Jeremiah 9, he who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. Because aside from the Lord, we're just ashes or dust and all those type of things. All right, we'll come back to the James record, but let's go in the Bible to the next thing, which is Acts 6. Wisdom is a very valuable asset. Acts 6, they were having one of the first problems in the first century church. The women were complaining that, you know, of favoritism. So the apostles had to figure out how to figure what to do. And in Acts 6, 2, then the 12 called a multitude of disciples and said, you know, it's not reason or logical that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report. These are seven people, and this is what they need to be. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Wisdom was critical whom we may appoint over this business. So people who had a little bit of understanding, had some knowledge, and then could live it with the wisdom. That's who they looked to help out in this situation. And of course, Stephen was one of them. Go to Matthew 13. So that was the long suit they were looking at for people. So how would they know? Well, because the people were living the wisdom. Matthew 13:54. So living wisdom is going to draw attention to yourself. 13:54. And when he, being Jesus, came into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and they said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? So they saw the wisdom of his teaching and his life and what he was doing, and that wisdom led to mighty works. The works that he were doing were godly works, mighty, powerful works, but it was based because he was learning the wisdom of God. And the people saw it and went, wow. Where did he get that wisdom from? He went to the same school as everybody else around here. Now he had a better connection. He really ate the scriptures. Look at Joshua. No, Deuteronomy, sorry. It's about Joshua. Deuteronomy 34. I just wanted to pick up a couple people here real quick. So Stephen being one of the seven, 34, all the way near the end of Deuteronomy. And Jesus, you know, they saw the wisdom, they saw the mighty works, they go hand in hand, because you'll do many things if you have God's wisdom. And in 34:9, all right, let me set the stage. Moses is dead! Anybody want to take over for him? You talk about a thankless job. I'm going to replace the legend. It's kind of like replacing John Elway around here. It just did not, you know. The next many quarterbacks never did it. The only guy who did it well was Steve Young. He replaced Joe Montana. Aside from that, replacing a legend is difficult. All right, anybody want to replace Moses? What is it going to take? I'll give you a hint. All right, Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of Wisdom. It took great wisdom in action to replace Moses. He got the Spirit of God, and for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So he was the next leader. He was, you know, there was not a democracy. Each of the tribes didn't put somebody up there, and they all voted. It wasn't the Miss America pageant or the Miss Judean pageant. Okay, it was, you are taking over. Me? But he had served as the right-hand man. I always got a kick out of it because when Moses was 80, he had his young, they called Joshua his young man, who was 53 at the time. So he was, you know, been around. He was 93 when he took over. So he had a little bit of life experiences. He had a little bit of wisdom, and people knew it, but he took over. Not a job, not a help wanted ad you'd want to answer. So anyway, but spirit of wisdom. Wisdom was why he could do it. He had a connection with God, and that's what helped him utilize it. Okay, you knew we were going to James, so let's go there now, because it was on your handout. And we'll go back to the handout. We've got to look at one verse first before we read the next part. Hebrew James. James 1. Since we're looking at wisdom, no wisdom teaching would be correct without James 1:5. Or James 3, for that matter. Or Proverbs. Well, anyway. Okay, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, anybody out here lack wisdom? All the time? Okay, if any of you lack wisdom, then ask God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. That's what abrades it. So, God gives wisdom generously without finding fault. You won't find a quota of wisdom from God. Oops, sorry, you reached your quota for this month. You don't get any more. No, God continues to give it. Then ask. He doesn't find fault. He keeps giving it. Now, in chapter 3 of James, we'll go back to your handout, because we're going to see that, as we've already noticed, that there are two kinds of wisdom in the world. And God made a mockery of the wisdom of the world, but this clearly lays it out for us in James 3:13 on your handout. Who is the wise and the experienced among you? You see, that wisdom that we're to ask God for, well, wasn't Proverbs loaded with wisdom? Wasn't there a lot of wisdom in this book? So then, when you ask God, you don't ignore the word and just go, oh, God will tell me. No, he won't. he may, but rarely will he. This is the wisdom you need to know first, and then in specific situations, God will fill in the details for you. You know, that type of thing. Should I or should I not leave Georgia? God will fill in the details. All right. He doesn't say he's somewhere here in Proverbs, you know. So there's where you need it. But there's a lot of wisdom in the Word. All right. 13. James 3:13. Who is wise and experienced among you? Let him show his actions out of a good manner of life with meekness of wisdom. You don't walk around and go, I'm so wise, you need to listen to me. No. However, if you have bitter envy and factitious strife in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom is not what comes down from above. This wisdom is earthly, natural, and devilish. The author of it is the devil. It's via the natural or senses realm. He puts it in, and it goes through the earth. And there's our earthly, sensual, devilish messages that are out there. Just go to your local news. There it is. That wisdom doesn't come from God, though. Moreover, where there is envy and factitious strife, there's confusion in every evil deed. That's what you like when you show up for work. I'm looking forward to more confusion today. Kind of like teaching school. However, the wisdom from above, God's wisdom, is indeed first pure, then peaceful, gently forbearing, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, not hypocritical, and the fruit of justice is sown in peace among them, among those keeping peace. So which wisdom would you like to participate in? It's very clear. We'll take wisdom number 2. The wisdom from God that's peaceful, gently forbearing, compliant, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial, not hypocritical. And with that, we have to go to 1 Kings 3. Because we have to be introduced to the wisest person in the Old Testament. First Kings 3. All right. So, David died, and his son Solomon is now king. Solomon is a young man, and now he's king. 1 Kings 3, 5. In Gibeon, 1 Kings 3, 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." This isn't a genie appearing because he found a magic lamp. God is God. Okay, I'm going to give you one thing. What do you need? What do you want? Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto my servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. But I am just a little child." I feel like I'm Olivia. Olivia's four now, though, right? Wow. "I feel like a little child. I don't know how to go out and come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen. And it's a great people that cannot be numbered." The abacus doesn't go that high. "They're counted for multitude. So here's what I want, God. Help. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because you have asked this thing." All right, this was a test. "You didn't ask for yourself a long life." Wow, I want to live long. A lot of people would ask for that. "You didn't ask for riches." A lot of people would ask for that. "You didn't ask for the life of thy enemies." Boy, that was probably a close second, though. "But you asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words." Well, God came to you and said, "Hey, which one do you want?" Sounds like wisdom would be a pretty good one to pursue. Because you asked, "I have done according to thy words, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart." Wouldn't that like your boss to be wise and understanding? Well, God being our boss, we won't go human-wise, but this is what God, "I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also," but wait, there's more. "And I have also given thee that which thou hasn't asked." You're going to get riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. So let's jump down to an example. Okay? So verse 16. Here, God put this in as an example of his wisdom. "Then there came two women, they were harlots, unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, 'Oh, my lord, I and this woman, we dwell in one house. And I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, this woman was delivered also. We were together. No strangers in the house with us." Nobody came in the house, just the two of us. "And this woman's child died in the night because she, you know, overlaid it. She sprawled out over him and crushed him. Suffocated it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thy handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child on my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered in the morning, behold, it wasn't my child. It wasn't my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, 'No, but the living is my son and the dead's your son. No, the dead's my son.'" And you know, this is a good Jerry Springer episode. Back and forth. Well, okay, you're king. How do you handle this? Well, let's keep reading. "Then said the king, the one says, 'This is my son living, your son's dead.' And the other one says, 'No, just dead, my son's living.' Well, the king said, 'All right, here's the answer. Bring me a sword.' So he brought a sword before the king, and the king said, 'Divide the living child in two. Give half to one, half to the other.'" That's logical. No, that isn't logical at all. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, Oh, my Lord, give her the living child. And in no wise slay it. But the other said, Well, let it neither be mine or hers, divide it. And the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She's the mother thereof. And the end result? All Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. You know, that's not like you can go to Proverbs and figure out what to do in a situation like that. He walked with God, and bam. And so everybody went, hey, that's really interesting. Look at chapter 4. Let's see if it had any other side effects in the world. 4:29. 1 Kings 4:29 says, And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. So how did he get wisdom and understanding? From God. Are we encouraged to get the same from God? It must be available. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East Country, all the wisdom of Egypt, wiser than all these other wise guys all over the place, and his fame was in all nations round about. Well, if you don't like the way I'm doing it, go talk to Solomon. Well, look at this. Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Matt, you got some, you know, got ways to go here. He had 1,005 songs and 3,000 proverbs. Hey, some of those proverbs are written in the book of Proverbs. Imagine that. We might even be able to get some of the wisdom that Solomon had. He spoke of trees, from the cedar tree that's in Lebanon, even in the hyssop, that springs out of the wall. He spoke of animals, and he spoke of birds. He spoke of creepy things. He spoke of fish. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. He was the internet of his day and time. That's right. He was Google. Let's ask Solomon. We'll Google Solomon, see what he has to say. All right, 2 Samuel 15. One more record. There's a reason for my madness on this one. 2 Samuel 15. Okay, David had sinned, and he was now running for his life. And 2 Samuel 15, 31. 15:31. And David was on the Mount of Olives. He's escaped. If you know your geography, he's heading east onto the Mount of Olives and then out into the wilderness. And one told David, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. So obviously Absalom was living in California. But anyway, Absalom was the son who tried to usurp the throne. And David's advisor, Ahithophel, is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. We'll see why this is a big in a moment. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount, where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai, the Archite, came to meet him, with his coat rent and earth upon his head, unto whom David said, If you pass on with me, you're pretty old, you're going to be a burden unto me. But here's what I need you to do. Return to the city, say unto Absalom, because this is one of David's other counselors, and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto. So will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. So he asked God to defeat his counsel, and now he has a plan on how to do it. You're also a counselor. Go there and defeat him. All right? And then look at chapter 16. Why is defeating the counsel of Ahithophel so important? 16:23. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So every time he spoke, it was as if God himself was speaking. He had that kind of a connection. How do you defeat that kind of counsel? Well, if you read, I'll let you can continue to read yourself. Look at 17:14. Basically what happened was he sent the archite back, Hushai, and Hushai, so Absalom's now in the throne room. He goes, all right, Ahithophel, what should I do? And Ahithophel gave what he should do, and if he would have followed it, David would have been wiped out and Absalom would have been king forever. However, David's buddy is going to give something else, and then he's going to send a message to David to run. But verse 14, and Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. We have an answer to prayer. Was it better? It was better for David. It was better for God's people in the long run and everything, but it wasn't better for Absalom. But they perceived it that way. Why? For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. So, look at verse 17:23. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose, got him home to his house, to his city, put his household in order, and hanged himself and died, and was buried in the sepulchre of his father. Well, that's a good way to get rid of his counsel too. But he realized that was going to end up that way anyway, because he was not being disregarded. Was there ever anything wrong with his counsel? No. Not at all. So, just because you got the wisdom doesn't mean you're always living it, and you sometimes can get talked out of it, or sometimes people aren't listening to it, and all of the things above. Proverbs 25 is where we'll close. So, what do we do with God's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding? And here, they turned against it. We don't want to be that. Oh, why would a guy with that kind of wisdom, with that kind of insight and tightness with God, turn on David? Because maybe it had something to do with his granddaughter, Bathsheba. You ever hear of her? That's the reason. He was the grandfather of Bathsheba. Didn't kind of like what David did to the first husband. So, we close in Proverbs 25:11 with a painting some of you have. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. So you got a painting, and in pictures are setting. You have a setting of silver. You got all your silver plate, your silver teapot, all the silver goblets, and all of that out. And the right word at the right time is having beautiful golden apples there in a beautiful setting of silver. God just giving us his mind, picture that. The right word at the right time is very full of wisdom. And we can live up to that if we get understanding, if we get knowledge, if we get wisdom of God endeavoring to live it. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can continue to learn from all kinds of wisdom that are there. And we can continue to live for you in this day and time and hour in the name of Jesus Christ.